Welcome to the Idaho Pulse. This is Tea Party Bob. Welcome you once again to maybe an hour or so of some really good communication with our good friend, Ron Nate, president of the Idaho Freedom Foundation. Ron, I understand you've been spending some time down at the legislature and listening to some of the arguments that are going on between the flag and education and so many other important issues. Why don't we just start in and welcome you here and let's get going on this podcast.
Well, it's great to be on again. Yes, I've been over at the Capitol. I've been watching the legislature from my office as well, been participating, chatting with legislators. And I think I heard you say some important things going on. There's a lot of unimportant things going on, too. So it's kind of crazy, the things that get talked about, you know, just silly little rules about whether caterers can serve alcohol, things like that. Flags at City Hall. You know, you talk about the mundane, and then there's bigger issues floating around, like your taxes, like whether businesses can survive and thrive in Idaho, and whether there's a rule of law here that we can all follow and protect Idaho freedom, sovereignty, Idaho protected rights, protect our borders, so to speak. That American programs are for Americans. So there's lots of things going on, both little, big, mundane, important. And too often, I think the press and a lot of us get focused on the mundane things while the big things are slipping through the cracks.
There are an awful lot of things slipping through the cracks today. I was listening to the radio this morning, and I understand that some of our more prominent legislators on the left side are talking about how we are going to spend all this money for school choice when in actuality, none of them know how to read a balance sheet or understand that it costs less money to send the kids for a school choice than it does to send them to public school.
Oh, actually, absolutely. It's a money saver. And, you know, we've talked about the budget the last few episodes on here. And the fact is that the legislature and governor have overspent. They've put us in a position where the spending for this year looks like it will exceed the amount of tax collections this year. And that cannot happen because we are a balanced budget state. So therefore, the government needs to cut its spending. And this is something we've said for years, that they've increased their spending by 60% over the last 6 years. It's unsustainable. The Democrats are very good at messaging. You know, I don't agree with the Democrats on very much at all. But I do recognize that they are organized, they stick together, and they are consistent in their messaging. If you watch them from videos in the Capitol, they are always saying, we are in this budget mess because of the tax cuts. Tax cuts have put us in this budget mess. Tax revenues are down because of the tax cuts. That's all they keep saying. But what they don't say, and what the answer ought to be, and what the conservatives ought to be saying, is that this is not a mess created by having too little taxes, because taxes have indeed gone up. Even with the tax cuts, tax collections are higher than they have been because of economic growth. But the problem is the spending problem. Overspending, overspending, overspending. Until we get that under control, we're not going to fix things in Idaho. And if you don't mind, can I point out one thing that's really key to all of this?
Be my guest.
All right. It is that Trump, in the big, beautiful bill, changed the IRS tax code so that there's exemptions. There's things like overtime that are not taxed, tips that are not taxed, certain research and development not taxed. And so it created tax cuts at the federal level. But because we use those same exemptions to define our state taxable income, it translates into state income tax cuts as well. Well, the governor and some of his cronies are saying, you know what, we can't afford to have the state level Trump tax cuts put in place. They want to reject the Trump tax cuts at the state level. He wants to reject them all for 2025, maybe do part of them in 2026. But we are talking hundreds of millions of dollars for Idahoans who are already struggling. And so we should not have these things, these tax cuts go away simply because the governor and legislature have spent us into oblivion.
You know, it was interesting. I was listening on a radio this morning, and there was a gentleman talking about how he and his wife, you know, both work overtime. And the fact that the overtime pay that's supposed to be not taxed, okay, it's only the specific overtime in addition to what they would normally make that is not getting taxed. And that their regular hourly wages continue to be taxed at their normal rate.
Yeah, just for the record, I would rather have lower taxes overall. I'd rather have no property taxes. I'd rather have, you know, only a consumption tax. I'd rather not have income taxed either. But to the extent we do have income taxes, it seems odd for government to pick and choose what kind of incomes are more taxable than others. Why is overtime more sacred than regular time? Why are tips more sacred than wages? It just seems unfair and picking winners and losers to pick all these different things. But nonetheless, a tax cut's a tax cut. And if it's good enough for Trump, why is it not good enough for Little? Because I thought Trump endorsed Little. But now Little is unendorsing Trump, at least some of his key policy issues, by trying to avoid these tax cuts and stick it to the everyday Idahoan.
Like I say, even Trump is capable of making mistakes. And he made a big one when he went out there and said, Little is my guy. Well, he's not. And he never has been. And he never will be. And the problem is that we're stuck with this clown, at least for another 4 years, because nobody's going to challenge him. And he's the one responsible for this huge increase in our budget. He allowed it to happen. It's on his watch. That's why I wish somebody like Theo Wald would run against him.
Yeah. It's Brad, Joe Biden, Little. He very rarely comes out. When he does, you have a hard time following what he says. But he's voting for a lot of liberal stuff. He's proposing a lot of liberal stuff. If your budget's in trouble, why not just defund and stop doing launch? That's extra constitutional. It's not in our constitution.
No. That's not going to help the corporations that pay for his election.
Oh, you're so cynical, Bob. You are.
Yes, indeed. And I'm going to continue to be that way.
Well, hey, let me say this on another note. You know, the IFF, our mission is to root out Marxism, promote the founding principles of freedom and protection of rights and limited government that our founders did. And therefore make Idaho the free state that it ought to be as a beacon to the rest of the country. We do all sorts of things. We've done some videos in the last week, which have been amazing. We sent our video crew to the Women's March, not to be confused with the March for Life, to the Women's March, where all the liberals are there saying they don't, you know, they're against Trump, they want to kill babies and all that sort of thing.
Ron, I want to congratulate you on that. I watched that twice. That was one of the best videos I have seen in a long time. And it truly shows who the people are who are against us in this state. And they're all nuts.
They are. It was a women's march. And I think we have 7 or 8 minutes there put together very professionally. And you look at that and... What an angry bunch of little cusses they are, right? they are, by the way, our two reporters we sent there are women. They were called every nasty woman name in the book. And this is a women's march where you're supposed to respect and protect women, right? But no. Oh, they're getting called names. They're getting shouted at. They're getting pushed around. Umbrellas thrown in their face and stuff. It was just an amazing thing. So go to IFF. Idahofreedom.org. Look at our videos, and you can see that video. It has gotten tens of thousands of views. It's just an amazing amazing piece of work there.
Those are all the Idaho women that have been scorned.
True. We also have other video clips from committee meetings, like Jim Guthrie wanting to raise liquor license fees, whether or not you like liquor or something like that, just raising fees because government needs money. It's coming from Idahoans. you need to cut government, stop raising the fees. We have videos from the flag bill being presented in committee, and these videos are just blowing up. They are, it's like we've gotten over some barrier there that our videos are everywhere now. And so you ought to check them out. They're actually very good. And
this is the new method of communication.
Yeah.
This is how you actually influence, because that's the new era. And I see it more and more. And I have to say, you know, Guthrie never saw a tax he didn't like.
Yeah, yeah. Jim Guthrie-ment, that's what I call him.
You
Jim
know,
Big Guthrie.
Liquor is quicker if the taxes are thicker.
Also, my wife and I and a lot of our team went to the March for Life, which is the march on the subsequent weekend, which is not the Women's March, but this is the march that respects womanhood, that respects babies and respects life, and says, you know what, we should protect life at all costs, that the sacred role of motherhood and bearing and raising children is to be respected, honored, and elevated, not to be scorned or viewed as a burden, or said it's uncomfortable somehow. It is one of the most amazing things in this world. And so being out there with thousands of folks with smiles on their faces, I didn't hear one swear word cast at anyone. I didn't hear anyone being called names. It was just a respectful march for something that's good. The music was awesome. The signs and the pictures and the statements and the speeches were all uplifting, and just really trying to elevate us to something better than we are. And I thought it was just an amazing contrast between the two events.
Well, I think it was a great contrast against what's going on in Minneapolis. And believe me, they were not holding back on the cuss words up there.
No, they weren't. It's a really interesting world, but in a lot of ways, I am glad I'm in Idaho. Yeah, we do have the leftist elements here that we're fighting against. So does everywhere. But you feel like you have a chance for right to win here, that people do respect the rule of law. They do respect conservative principles and protection of rights, and the individual is paramount, not the collective. And so those kind of things give me hope. And Idaho can be a beacon for these other states that are in turmoil. California's a mess. Minnesota's a mess. Washington and Oregon, they're all a mess. And they're not a mess because they're bad people. They're a mess because of bad policies. This idea that you're going to manage society into something you want, that you want to take over schools and indoctrinate kids to the woke leftist ideology, which is destructive to kids and families, is not going to make for a very good state. At least Idaho, we still have a flicker of hope here that we're working toward.
Well, you know what I say about hope? Something my dad told me many years ago, if you hold a pound of hope in one hand and a pound of dog do in the other, which one weighs more?
I'd rather have a pound of hope, though. I'd rather.
Well, I would too, but people have to activate themselves and make hope happen.
Make hope happen. Absolutely. Speaking of hope, the Idaho Supreme Court considered the school choice case last week. I cannot believe this, that we have the Idaho Education Association, all the Democrats, of course, and then a few of your choicest rhinos who have all teamed up to challenge in court this law that was passed in the legislature. I think it's amazing that a law passes in the legislature. You're a legislator. You're on the losing side of a vote. And so you don't like the law so much, you're going to go and sue in court to defeat a law that was passed legitimately by your colleagues. I thought that was just a weird move by Representative Mickelson. But anyway, she's on the wrong side of this. The court case was argued in front of the Idaho Supreme Court. And the bizarre argument was this, that the, you know, our Idaho Constitution provides, actually says, that the Idaho government shall provide a general, thorough, and uniform system of free common schools. So the Constitution says we shall have a public school system. That's fine, right? School choice, doesn't interfere with that. You can still have a school, a public school system. It doesn't say every kid has to be in that public school system. It just says that the state shall provide one. And the silly argument in court made by the plaintiffs was that school choice violates the Constitution because it creates a system that goes against the public school system, a competing system, that it undermines the public school system. And they were questioned by the judges quite thoroughly on that, and they didn't have any good answers. That the Constitution says at minimum you have to have a public school system. It didn't say you couldn't have more. It didn't say you couldn't have other things going on. It just says you have to have a public school system. And the judges are like, having school choice doesn't mean you don't have a public school system. Where are we missing this? And what's funny is they have to kind of admit that the presence of school choice threatens the public school system somehow, because people just might choose choice.
Well, I think that's going to happen more and more. When you take a look at what's happened with many of the other states that have offered the school choice, it's becoming more and more evident that as school choice becomes more prominent, the education that the kids are getting in a public school changes and gets better because there is competition. Without competition, you don't have things getting better. You have things getting worse. And that's what we've had here for literally the 33 years I've been here. Yep. I mean, we never get above the 40th percentile nationally with our education system.
It's crazy, yeah, that we've tripled education spending in low 15 years or so, and we have not gotten any movement in the needle on proficiency and education excellence. They are scared to death of school choice because they know what that means. The competition that as parents choose the best private school options, we'll see improvements in outcomes. And that will shine the spotlight on the broken public school system. So the public school system is either going to have to change its ways, find ways to excel, or it's going to continue to lose students to the public school system. And yes, as the public school system falters and loses students, that is not a bad sign. That is a good sign because people are choosing something better.
Well, anytime you can get rid of a lesser than effective operation and bring on a very effective operation. I mean, look, this is simple corporate strategy, which I did for years. These people, they're trying to hold the power. And the way they hold the power is by holding the purse and keeping those teachers in place rather than having the students get more dispersed and have better opportunities to see what was wrong with the original education system they were getting.
Absolutely. So anyway, that went to the Supreme Court. I imagine it'll be a few weeks before a decision's made, but all indications are that it was not a good day for the teachers' unions. We did a post on it. It was probably one of our most popular posts we ever made at the Idaho Freedom Foundation on just Judge Mohler's reactions to some of the arguments of the state. And so some of the arguments of the teachers' union. So you ought to check it out. I am optimistic that school choice will be upheld. And if so, we ought to increase it because people need it. People want it. And families shouldn't be left out just because we didn't put enough resources toward it.
You know, I'm seeing little by little, the people of Idaho are very slow to become educated on the problems. But they are learning and they are understanding that it really comes down to the ballot box again. They're the ones who make the difference if they go and vote. And they're also the ones that make the difference if they don't vote.
And this is the year, 2026. It's an even year. So there'll be primaries in May. Encourage good conservatives to run for office. Support the good conservatives who are already in office. And let's do a little changeover so that we stop having a lot of silly legislation move through. We stop having a lot of silly spending done. And that we can return to a conservative state. So there's opportunity this year. And I touched on it before, but I just want to emphasize again that Trump in the Big Beautiful Bill has provided tax cuts at the federal level, which translate to state level tax cuts. I cannot believe that our governor and our Senate leadership, is what it sounds like so far, wants to take some of that away from Idahoans and say, you know what? We're going to cut families so that we can keep government funded. I, on the other hand, at the Idaho Freedom Foundation, would say, let's cut government, let's not cut families. And that is really the debate. So when you hear about tax conformity or whether or not we can afford the big, beautiful bill tax cuts, that's what they're talking about. And absolutely we can, because you just need people of the proper backbone to go and cut spending that they've overextended.
Tomorrow's presentation will be by Callie.
I don't know what happened. I just lost your video. I don't know why. There it is. I got you back. I can hear you fine. I don't disagree with anything you've said, but how do you get a governor who's been in for two terms to understand that he's doing the wrong thing? Because personally, I don't think he wants to understand. I think in his heart of hearts, this man is a liberal in disguise.
Well, to get where he's gotten, he's done a couple of things. First of all, he used to be the president of IACI, which is the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry, which, in my view, is the Idaho Association of Cronyism and inbredness. And so that's what he caters to IACI, and he caters to the teachers' unions. He does not want to offend education or offend the big corporate buddies, and therefore, nearly all the policies come down this line of looking very rhino.
And my question is, why is nobody challenging him in a primary this year? Are they all afraid he has too much money? Because I know he's got too much money.
He's got too much money. And for some reason, and I can't explain this, Bob. It's the problem is in Idaho, if you do polling, he's got like 65, 70%. People just like the name. They just like they like the comfort. They don't know really what he's doing. And so I don't understand how you can have such a lackluster executive, one who's always siding with the big cronies and the teachers' unions, and still enjoy that kind of popularity. It's out of touch here.
You know, it's kind of like, I like my dog, but I wouldn't vote for her. And we have to take a look. People don't take a look at what this man has done to this state. Why is the state the biggest employer?
It's a good question. And when you get to that tipping point where more people in the state are getting a check from government than are paying into government, you've reached a tipping point that you can't defeat at the ballot box because
it's a swing vote.
Their paycheck. And and by paycheck and by check from the government, I mean state employees. We have 26, 27,000 state employees. And then you look at all the hundreds of thousands who are on Medicaid, Medicare, state welfare, getting state benefits of some sort or another. We have hundreds of thousands out of 2 million who are either employed directly or getting a government benefit check somehow.
That's why you get 65% of the vote that votes for the idiot.
And loves the idiot.
Look, as I always say, you cannot fix stupid.
Well, probably not. Hey, this week, changing subject a little bit, we have our Capitol Clarity Series, and we're doing it at 6 p.m. on Thursdays in the Lincoln Auditorium at the Capitol, 6 p.m. So you can't just say, hey, I have to work that day. 6 p.m. works. And it's at the Lincoln Auditorium, and this week we are featuring speakers on life. So we have the president of Right to Life of Idaho speaking, Ms. Noggle, and some others who are coming to speak on the issue of life. I think Megan.
By the way, I told my web designer who actually works for you too, Parrish, to make sure that makes it into our Gem State Patriot when we come out with it on Sunday, so that people know that it's going on, and a link so they can actually watch what's happening. If people get involved a little bit more because of your efforts, I think that could eventually change what's happening in our legislature.
Fantastic. Yeah, thank you for doing that too. So Capital Clarity has been just great so far in helping people get informed. Also, please go to our website, idahofreedom.org. Connect with us on Insta, on Rumble, on YouTube, on Facebook, and on X. On Facebook, our posts are regular and frequent and pretty good. We'll see something in committee, and within 20 minutes, we can have that posted online with a video clip, with an explanation, so you see what's going on in the Capitol and have some context to it.
Wouldn't it be nice if people actually got involved?
It's great. Yeah. And come to the Capitol and testify. We'll give you all the pointers and help you need. But we're happy to be engaged here. I think we're doing great work, and look forward to moving this along for the next few weeks. This legislative session is moving along. We got to get spending under control, make sure those tax cuts go through, and then minimize the damage of all these bills who want to regulate families and businesses.
Well, I would come down to testify, but I did that for about 5 years. And the last time I did that, they gave me 3 minutes and cut me off after one. They didn't like what I was saying.
Well, you haven't lived if you haven't been escorted from the podium by a state trooper. So good for you. Good for you.
Well, have you been?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize you were such a superstar.
Well, I was just pointing out all of the supporters of the launch program happen to also be a lot of the contributors to the governor's PAC, and that did not please the committee chair. He invited the officer up to take me away.
So you exposed the hoi polloi, and they said, that's not right.
Yeah, some things need to stay behind the green curtain, I guess.
Yeah, like the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys. Appreciate the Idaho Pulse. I'm going to go and monitor the House floor now and see what they're up to, and be ready to report on it.
Well, thank you very much, my friend. And thank you for joining us again for an opportunity to hear what's actually happening in our state instead of all the BS we get from the news on TV.
All right. So stay tuned to idahofreedom.org. Stay tuned to the Idaho Pulse and the Gem State Patriot. You can't go wrong.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you.